Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is June 21st, 2022. We are located downtown at Youngstown Studio. Make sure to follow both Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports pages on your social media. I'm going to bring in our guest right away before we get into the rest of the sports world because, first of all, I don't want his basketball coach to get mad at me, Coach Birch. At Boardman, he needs to be in Newcastle in about a half hour. But my guest today is an awesome kid. He is just finished his freshman year at Boardman, heading into his sophomore year, class of 2025.
Yeah.
Okay, so class of 2025. Another side note, I think most of you guys know I used to be a teacher, David Del Torio, one of my former second graders. So very excited to welcome David on. David, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I appreciate you on short notice coming down here. So David, the reason David is down here, one, he's a really good athlete. He, you know, cross country, basketball, track, correct?
Yeah.
Anything else I missed?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right. So running is not my forte. It's something I do occasionally here and there. But David is probably the best runner in our area, especially based on his age. So David, tell us a little bit about the Adidas Outdoor Nationals you competed in this weekend. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was nice. I enjoyed it. It was a little hot for our usually being in Ohio, but it was nice. The facility was nice. All the people were nice. It was just a fun experience.
Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you get invited to such a national prestigious event like that?
It was a time thing. You had to hit a certain like running time for your event. And I think I was like halfway through the season and my coach just told me, he was like, hey, you qualify, you know, if you want to go. So I was like, yeah, I'll go.
Okay, and that's Coach Phillips at Boardman?
Coach Phillips.
Okay, very nice, very nice. So I'm just going to read a little bit of the write-up. The race featured several lead changes, but David, obviously from right here in Boardman, made the defining move on the final turn with a time of 4 minutes, 31 seconds. 4 minutes, 31 seconds, and 9/100ths of a second. Just behind was Tate Shore of North Carolina, followed by Glenn Allen of Virginia. So pretty amazing. You're competing with kids from across the country. So what was that like to compete against like other kids from other areas?
It was interesting. You know, I've only competed against people from Ohio. So it was nice to, you know, venture out to people from everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No doubt. No. So I know your mom and dad a little bit and they're out in the hall. And, you know, I know your mom used to run and your dad used to be an athlete too. So like, how did they get you involved like from an early age into running, or how did you become involved into that?
Yeah. So my mom used to do like road races, like around here and like Cleveland. And she used to take me to them when I was like two or three. And then she started signing me up for the little kid races. And that's just kind of how I started.
Okay. Okay. Now some people I know that are runners run because they're good at it. Some people run because they love it. Some run for both reasons. Are you someone that like loves running, like just loves it, or are you just so good at it and that's why you do it?
I think it's both. I enjoy running. I enjoy going out every day and running.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So who are some people like now, you know, when we think of like baseball or football or basketball, there's usually like professionals we can look up to and stuff like that. Yeah. Now in the running world, is there anyone you can look up to or refer to?
There's a couple people I look up to, some in college, some pro.
Okay. Anyone that specific, any names that jump out at you?
Cooper Tier from Oregon University.
Okay.
I look up to a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So what does your training look like when you're running? Cause you did this in the mile. So that's fairly long distance for most runners in the sense of maybe not for speed necessarily, but for distance or, you know, maybe I'm saying that a little bit wrong, but what is your mindset and what does your kind of training look like for that?
Usually we do just like speed work, some speed endurance just to, you know, keep my legs moving fast for quite a long period of time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So mostly like short distance speed stuff, and then you build up, or
yeah,
okay.
Somewhat of that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, I think anyone that is a runner, you know, I mostly have just done like some 5Ks and stuff like that. Just, to, you know, nothing too ridiculously long, but on days when you don't want to run, and I'm sure there's those days, you know, like yeah. What's in your mind to conquer that? Like, how do you get over that hump of, you know, kind of struggling today? It's not like I'm not feeling that great. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, the big, you know, names of running, you know, they do it every day. And I just think, like, if they can do it and look at where they are, you know, if I want to be where they are one day, I'm going to have to, and just got to push through it just one day.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, do you think that helps you with, like, basketball and stuff, that mindset?
I think it helps for everything. Mm-hmm. Really.
Okay. Even in the classroom, probably, yeah. Right? Okay. Now, when you're training, now probably not at practice, but like on your own, do you listen to music or do you just run straight?
Sometimes I'll listen to music. It depends. You know, usually for my longer runs, sometimes mm-hmm. I get bored, so I'll yeah. put some music in.
Do you have any go-to songs or anything or artists?
No, I just kind of listen to whatever's on.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's fair. Because, like, sometimes for me, if I'm running, I have to be listening to something to get that, like, cadence down yeah. almost with your feet. But it's interesting to hear other people's opinion on that. When you're in a race, so, for example, this race that's down in North Carolina this past weekend, what are you thinking when you're running? Like, is there any thoughts that are going through your mind? Or you're just like, I just want to beat this next guy next to me? Or what? Like, what are some of the thoughts?
Yeah, usually just, you know, stay right next to, you know, the lead guy. Just don't let him get too far ahead and just one foot in front of the other.
Okay. Okay. Do you keep it like a pace and then turn it on that final lap, or what's your strategy?
Yeah, usually for that race in particular, that was the strategy. Just, you know, stay close to everyone else, and then, you know, that last 300 meters, just, you know, everything I have left.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So, you know, probably in the last month, I've been reading a little bit about Roger Bannister. Are you familiar with him?
Maybe.
Okay. So he is the first person to ever break the 4-minute mile. He broke it in 3:59. But this guy was like a professor in Oxford, England. And people said the human body can't physically break the 4-minute mile mark. And obviously this guy did it in 1954, but, you know, he tried and tried and tried so many times. Is that something that you think you could ever get to, that 4-minute mile?
Yeah, that's my senior year goal. That's like the one thing I want to do
before okay.
I go to college.
Okay. So the 4-minute mile, yeah. Which would, I mean, you know, for, I'm not sure the age requirements or anything, but that would be quite the feat. So, and I think you got it in you. I know your mindset is strong and you can do that. I know you got to go in a minute, but I want to get you out on a couple quick questions here. Advice for anyone that maybe isn't such a strong runner, maybe that wants to maybe eventually get into competitive running.
I think, you know, start slow. It's going to take time, you know, not if you're starting out, you're not going to run super fast all the time. I'd say definitely stretch a lot. You don't want to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure you're eating well and, you know, enjoy it.
Enjoy That's it. Excellent advice. Excellent advice. I love it. You have a pair of shoes that are like your go-to pair that you wear, or do you mix it up?
I have a couple different pairs of shoes I like to mix up
okay.
between days.
Okay. Any particular brand? Not that we're advertising for them. I'm just curious.
I like Asics.
Okay.
A lot. Nikes.
Okay. From a lot of my friends that run, that they said that is should be your number one investment. Get a good pair of, yeah. Get a good pair of shoes so you're taking care of your feet. If you had to pick a pre-race meal of choice, what is your go-to?
Like night before or right before?
Let's go night before.
Chicken parm, I'd say.
Chicken parm, you get your carbs up. Yeah. All right. And then since you asked it, how about right before?
Usually, I just go with a banana or like some peanut butter toast. Okay. Something light. Okay. Not too heavy.
All right. Very good. Now, as I mentioned, David's got to get to basketball here in a minute, and I don't want to make him too late here. So I got to put you on the spot here. Basketball or running? Which one's your favorite?
I get this question a lot. I don't know if I can choose. I love both of them too much.
That's a good answer. That's a good politically correct answer. I love it. So Coach Phillips or Coach Birch won't be too upset with you there. Yeah. Just keep doing what you're doing. So last question, and I'll let you get out of here because I know you got to get to basketball. Goals. You had mentioned you want to get to that 4-minute mile. What's another goal for you for maybe like the rest of your high school career?
Keep going back to nationals. You know, I kind of mm-hmm. want to make it a yearly thing. Win state one of these years. That'd be nice. Just do all that stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, David, thank you for coming in on short term notice, and congratulations on all your success so far. And we're going to keep looking for you and keep in touch with what you're doing. And hopefully you can come back next year and be a national champion again. So. All right. Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Good luck at basketball. Drive safe, and we'll be in touch. So, again, that's David Del Torio of Boardman High School. He is heading into his sophomore year. So he's got three more full years of high school and doing great things. I know he was playing a little bit of varsity basketball, too, as a freshman, which at a bigger school like Boardman, that is something impressive there, too. So, make sure to follow David and see what he's doing. He is an excellent runner and just, I can speak from experience, just a great kid. And it's cool to see like that. That's what makes teaching even more special. Like in the past, you know, having David, six, 7 years ago in class, and now he's into high school doing great things. And I know he's an excellent student too. So again, thanks to David for joining us. So let's transition. I'm going to welcome Joe in now on the show, and we're going to get into a bunch of different topics in the world of sports. Joe, before I get to it, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Golden State Warriors, the basketball. We're going to talk about some golf stuff. We're going to talk about the Guardians a little bit. And I have a bunch of different tip of the cap, wag of the finger. That's kind of like a new segment that we've been trying and I kind of like. So we're going to start with that. So first things first, I want to start with the Cleveland Guardians. They've been doing some great things on the diamond. They took 2 of 3 from the LA Dodgers this past weekend, 5-1 on their current road trip with sweeping the Colorado Rockies as well. They are second place in the American League Central. They are 1 game back of the Minnesota Twins. And if you look at that schedule, 8 of their next 11 games are against those Minnesota Twins. So pretty great stuff. And the Red Sox are a little bit down this year. So we'll see how they compete with them. But, you know, you can go over 500 the next, you go 6-5. I like our chances of getting back into the division lead there in the AL Central. So pretty great stuff. Jose Ramirez has missed the last couple games, but he is still leading the team with a .305 average, 16 home runs, and 62 RBIs. But a lot of great numbers. The big weakness for this team was the hitting. But you got guys like Ahmed Rosario stepping up. We had Owen Miller, another rookie that's playing very well. Oscar Gonzalez just hit his first major league home run in LA this past weekend. Stephen Kwan still doing good things. So this team is young. At times they don't look so great, but lately they've been playing some great baseball. So we'll keep tabs on them and see how they're doing. Real quick check in with the division leaders in baseball. So tip of the cap to these teams. We got the Yankees 50-17, best record in baseball, leading Toronto by 12.5 games. We're not even halfway through the season and they're already up 12.5 games. Minnesota still 1 game up on Cleveland. The Astros are leading the LA Angels by 10 games in the AL West. And then
your favorite team in the West.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, no doubt. The Houston Astros. So much. Love them so much. Still beating on trash cans. The New York Mets, with the highest payroll in baseball, 45-24, lead the Atlanta Braves by 5.5 games. The Milwaukee Brewers have taken over first place in the NL Central, lead St. Louis by 1 game, and the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres are still tied in the West, roughly with a 40-25 record. So that's where we're at with that. I do want to give a tip of the cap to another local product here. This is really cool. So the Arkansas Razorbacks are in the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. Champion High School grad, which is, you know, Champion just outside of Warren, Ohio. He is also a Kent State University transfer. His name is Michael Turner. He wears number 12. He is the catcher for the Arkansas Razorbacks. He was named the most outstanding player in their regional in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He is batting .311 on the season, playing a good, doing a good job as the catcher for the Razorbacks. And his sister Megan plays softball at Youngstown State University right down the street. So tip of the cap to Arkansas Razorbacks catcher Michael Turner, doing good things with the Razorbacks. And you know, I know they have a do or die game coming up in Omaha in the next couple of days. All right, now switching to the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals concluded this past weekend with the Golden State Warriors taking down the Boston Celtics in 6 games. So Golden State wins the last 3 games there. Now, Joe, I got to show you this picture. This is a very unfortunate tattoo for this man. So he got a tattoo before the finals started, I think maybe even before the playoffs started. But he got the world champion Boston Celtics 2022 tattooed on his left arm, it appears. But I really don't understand why people do this. But, you know, he's going to be maybe looking for a good tattoo removal company.
But just think if he'd have nailed it. Just think of how much they'd be like, how did you know?
Yeah. Well, it almost reminds me of one of those deals where, you know, like a jewelry place will say, well, if it snows 4 inches exactly on Christmas, like all this is free. So you go in and you buy more stuff than you want to buy, or the furniture store where they're giving away free stuff. But then when it backfires, you're in trouble and you don't have an insurance company to fall back on. So
that tattoo costs $100. If they would have won the championship, it would have been $500, because it could have been a money saving.
And the one thing I will say too is that tattoo can easily be changed a number here or there if they do win it in the next couple years. But he's got to live with that until they do. So, you know, interesting on there. So I thought I would definitely share that picture. So here's some interesting NBA Finals series notes. I got a bunch here, but I'm going to kind of just go through them kind of quickly. Steph Curry named the MVP. Curry is the only the second player to win the Finals MVP at 6'2" or shorter. So when you think of 6'2", you don't really think of someone being shorter, but in the NBA, that is definitely true. I think Isaiah Thomas was the only other player to win the Finals MVP. So 31 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists a game in the series. Curry joins an exclusive list of NBA players who have won 4 rings, 2 MVPs, and 1 Finals MVP. That is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan. So pretty solid names there. Pretty good company that you want to be a part of. Steph Curry is also let me phrase it this way. In the NBA Finals history, there's only been 25 occurrences of a player making 6 or more 3-point shots. Steph Curry has 9 of those such games. So 9 of the 25 Steph Curry is a part of. Pretty amazing there. The only player, Joe, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
There's only one Cavalier player that has done that in NBA Finals history. He's a recent Cavalier player. His name is not LeBron James. Can you name that player? This stumped me. I had no idea. So
I have no idea.
J.R. Smith is never the only other player that has hit. Now, LeBron James, I think, did it for Miami. But he, or the Lakers, I can't remember which one, but he did not do it as a Cavalier. So I thought that was kind of interesting there.
Got a stumper right there. That's a good question.
The Celtics kind of ran out of gas. Jason Tatum only scored 13 points in the last game and had 0 points in the second half of the final game. But Golden State, this is their 7th title in their history and their 4th in the past 8 years. And they've been to the NBA Finals 6 times in those 8 years. What, Joe, let me ask you this, because this is just such a vague question and I don't even know how to answer it. But how do you quantify or qualify a dynasty in sports? How would you qualify that?
I would say a dynasty when it goes beyond like generational, so that you have a father, son, and when it gets handed off.
Holy Spirit.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. Religious moment, religious encounter. So yeah, when it gets handed off either between generationally from a fan's perspective, where your son and your dad both experience a winning record, or even like a coaching where if you hand it off from a father-son type of thing.
Interesting. Okay, I like that perspective. Now, for me, it's hard to like, okay, so to put this into perspective too, David, who was on the show with me just a little bit ago, was a second grader when the Warriors made it to their first NBA Finals. He's now entering his sophomore year and, you know, has, you know, now he's a sophomore and they've been to 6 and 8 of those years. So, you know, maybe if you, I'm just use him as an example. So as a second grader to a 10th grader, that's all you've known is them being successful in your entire life. So that's an interesting perspective. Like when you get in your 20s and 30s, you might not quantify it the same way, but 6 and 8 years is pretty amazing. So, but
a dynasty be bad too. Like if you're a Browns fan, there's a sucky dynasty.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. 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 Well, like what, 3 winning records in 23 years, something like that. So yeah, not ideal there. That's the anti dynasty.
Yeah.
I think you would call that. This
dynasty.
let me just a couple more stats here. Jason Tatum, this is a negative stat for him, but 100 turnovers in the playoffs, which set the all-time record. Wow. Which unfortunate. I mean, they did play a 7-game series against Milwaukee. They did play a 7-game series against Miami and a 6-game series against Golden State. So right there, that's 20 games, and I'm not sure how many they played in the opening round, but that's at least 24, 25 games. So about 4, but that's a lot of turnovers, a lot of turnovers and 100 possessions just gone like that. And then, so Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, this is their 4th ring together as teammates. So that's pretty cool for them. 3 of them, not so much for us, but Steve Kerr, this is an awesome note. I really, really like Steve Kerr, and I think he's a transcendent coach and an impact coach and player. He has won 9 championships now, 5 as a player, 96 to 99. He actually won 96, 97, 98 with the Bulls and 99 with the Spurs. And then 2003, I forget which team he was on, but he won that year as well. And then 4 as a coach, 2015, 2017, 18, and 2022. So pretty great there for Steve Kerr. So a shout out to the Golden State Warriors. Congratulations to them. And unfortunately for the rest of the NBA, they're probably not going anywhere because they're going to bring most of that team back, and they got a lot of young pieces that didn't even hardly play in the playoffs this year. Tip of the cap to another hoops icon. We don't talk a whole lot of WNBA or women's basketball on this show, but Sue Bird is well worth the mention. The story comes from The Athletic. She is going to step away from the game after this season. She has 12 All-Star appearances and 5-time WNBA first team selection. So pretty amazing player there. She's 41 years old, which is amazing to play at that age. So good for her. Congratulations to Sue Bird. Only 5 players have scored more points than her, and no one can even touch her in assists. So congratulations to Sue Bird. Transitioning to the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning kept the series alive last night by getting a bounce back win. They lost game two, 7-0. And last night they come back and win 6-2. So the Avalanche are up 2-1. Game four will be tomorrow night in Tampa, and then just alternate each day back and forth. But the Lightning, two-time defending champs, are not going away anytime soon. All right, switching to golf. Matt Fitzpatrick is the winner of the U.S. Open. He held off Will Zalatoris. If you don't know Will Zalatoris, just think of Happy Gilmore, the guy that was his caddy, looks just like him. But he held off Will Zalatoris, who missed the putt literally by about 2 inches to tie and force a playoff. But him and Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters earlier on, they both were 5 under par in Brookline, Massachusetts, and they call that the country club there in Brookline. So going over quickly the major champions this year, Scottie Scheffler won the Masters back in April. PGA Championship was Justin Thomas. U.S. Open was just Matt Fitzpatrick. And then coming up in July at probably the most famous golf course, maybe outside of Augusta, is St. Andrews. That is kind of the birthplace of golf. And that's where the British Open will be in the middle of July there coming up. So that is the last of the majors. Now, I'm not going to go over this full list with you, but a large chunk of the PGA Tour in the top 100 is now gone from the PGA Tour. They have joined the LIV Champion League. Brooks Koepka is the latest to, defer to that league, drop out, cancel, whatever you want to say. But he has resigned and heading now to the LIV Tour. So Dustin Johnson, Abraham Ancer, Bryson DeChambeau, so many big names and former Masters and PGA champions on that list are now going. And I put as a side note there, I get it. It's transcendent money, but I don't have to like it. So, you know, I'm more old school and I'm not a huge golf guy, but I like the principles of the, you know, the PGA Tour and what it stands for. But at the same time, who am I to tell someone if they have a better opportunity for dozens or hundreds of millions of dollars, you got to take that, I think, for transitional wealth and, you know, for not just your children, but maybe your children's children, and they're taken care of. So who are we to tell someone, you know, not to, take that opportunity? And Joe, you got to love this story. Golf story, not really, but kind of a golf story. So this picture is of Tiger Woods, but if you look in the background, every single person has their cell phone out except for one man. And what does he have in his hand? A Michelob. And he is just watching Tiger Woods, enjoying the game, communing with nature, whatever you want to call it. This iconic golf fan who didn't whip out his phone got a beer sponsorship deal. Yes. And well deserved.
Good job.
Very, very cool. So, and he's wearing the khaki shorts and the, you know, the multicolor polo, and it's just a classic dad move right there. I love it. So congratulations to that fan. I don't know his name, but much respect to him, and he earned it. Now this, there was a little bit of breaking news on my way down to the studio today. I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Brian Hartline. He's a former Ohio State wide receiver. He played in the NFL for the Miami Dolphins. I'm not sure what other teams, but this past year in the draft, 2022, you had Garrett Wilson go number 10 to the New York Jets. You had Chris Olave go to the New Orleans Saints at number 11, and you had Jameson Williams at number 12 go to the Detroit Lions. Now, Jameson Williams, you know, he was developed at Ohio State and, you know, played his final year at Alabama. But regardless, you had the number 10, 11, and 12 players go in the first round of the NFL draft this year. Very cool. All developed and recruited by Brian Hartline. Jackson Smith and Jigba is considered the best returning wide receiver in college football. They also have Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, Julian Fleming, a bunch of guys that are rated highly in that vein. And yesterday, Ohio State signed 5-star wide receiver, one of the best players in the country, Carnell Tate, And as I was on my way down here, they just signed another five-star receiver who is considered kind of like a Jarvis Landry type receiver. Brandon Innes is his name. So hats off to Brian Hartline, who is just absolutely killing it for the Ohio State Buckeyes as a coach. Joe, I thought you might like this note. Now, I didn't play a whole lot of video games growing up and stuff. Actually, the more I look at it, it looks like a Disney logo, doesn't it? But college football on EA Sports is coming back. So that's really cool. A lot of people love that game. They got rid of it for a while, if you remember, because there was a lawsuit about name, image, and likeness. And now we have name, image, and likeness. So I'm guessing the players will get a little kickback of this deal. So either way, I think that'll make a lot of college football fans happy, a lot of video game players happy. And, you know, hopefully it gives a kickback to some players for monetary purposes as well. So kind of cool.
That's got to be so freaking hard. There are way more than 32 teams and there's so many players to profile in there. I could not
just in Division One, that's not counting YSU. That, you know, this just in the FCS, there's 130 teams. So I don't know how money will be split or if players will be labeled like just with a number, or some players might be, you know, if you're the best of the best, maybe your last name gets thrown in there. I don't know. So that'd be interesting to see how they work
on that.
White
guy profile and a black guy profile, and the numbers are the only thing
right.
that change.
And a fat guy profile and a skinny guy profile.
Yep. You're exactly. a lineman and yep. you're white.
Yep. Done. All right. I need your input on this. Sure. So this story, now they are just apparently in the planning phase. Yes. of this. And this was thrown around a couple years ago, but the Brown Stadium, which is actually, believe it or not, the 10th oldest stadium in the NFL, the 10th oldest. So it was, 99 was the inaugural season for the new Browns. They moved into that stadium, which is First Energy Stadium, which is another whole issue right now, because First Energy, people are trying to get that name changed, but whatever. So there have been reports that the Browns, the Haslams, and, you know, some lakefront property and stuff like that, they want to build a new stadium and they want it to have a roof. So whether that's a retractable roof, whether that is a fully dome stadium, Joe, I just got to say, what's your thoughts? What's your opinions on that?
Well, I think the weird part is because I feel like we had two build dates. We had the original one in 99. And then when the Haslams took over, they dumped a ton of money into rehabbing that stadium.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way that I feel about it, I mean, you're in Cleveland, you get much more use out of a place if you have a roof on it. Mm-hmm. But you've gunned or whatever the heck it's called across the way. So if yeah. you want to do inside stuff, you've got a domed facility for your concerts and whatever. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough sell to the city of Cleveland. And I wonder like how much government money or you know, state sure. money or whatever or Cleveland money is going to go into it. So
that I think will be a contentious issue. They used to have something called like the sin tax on like beer right. and, you know, cigarettes and stuff like that. I'm all for a dome stadium because like you said, all purpose all year. Now the Q or Rocket Mortgage, it's actually Rocket Mortgage. Now really? Now like a lot of people still call it the Gun. Some people call it the Q. I still call it the Q sometimes, but Rocket Mortgage is the name of the
sorry bit. Rocket Mortgage, if you were considering us a sponsorship, I just blew that out.
Well, that's ours. Dan Gilbert's baby right there. So but I don't know. I think you almost have to. And I know there's going to be a lot of boomers and a lot of old, you know, traditionalist people that are like, it's Cleveland. It needs to be played outdoors in the cold. And to me, it's like, okay, I get that. But, you know, like what we were talking about, the Browns have had, what, three winning seasons in 23 years? And you sit outside miserable. Wouldn't you rather, if you're going to be miserable, sit inside and comfortable? I don't know.
So you've got two models to go from. Buffalo mm-hmm. has a roof.
Mm-hmm. No, Buffalo does not.
So is there a
Indianapolis.
Cold? Okay, so Indianapolis mm-hmm. has a roof, and then you have Buffalo or Pittsburgh that doesn't, right?
Right, yeah.
Compare a team that can have a winning record, mm-hmm. right? Compare the business that can happen when you have a roof versus not.
Yes.
It's going to cost more to have that roof. Yep. But can it justify more events or bigger ticket sales or more money in the end?
I I think it can. I think it can, because if you look, okay, so what, the Browns play 8 or 9 home games a year, throwing 1 or 2 preseason games. So let's, on the high side, let's say 12 games played in their year. Maybe you have a soccer event, or maybe you have 1 or 2 concerts. So you're up to 15, maybe 16. So 16 dates out of 365, you know, that's not a whole lot of use out of a couple $100 million stadium. Let's even say on the conservative side, let's say you have 75 events there. So you're upping that by 60 events per year.
Yeah.
You know, how many more millions is that bringing in to not just the stadium, not just the team, but the city as a whole? So that's my perspective on it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would have a lot of kickback on me on that, but apparently there's a whole plan to redevelop the whole lakefront area, which in Cleveland, if they could hit the reset button and do it like Chicago, I'm sure they would, because there's a lot of wasted opportunity there. Now, Cleveland has a lot of great things going for it. The lakefront, though, is one thing. I mean, use it to your advantage. You know, I think the Browns and the city of Cleveland don't use it to their advantage. They got an airport there that hardly anyone uses. They have a stadium there that's hardly ever used. You know, I know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's there. I know the Science Center's there, but you know, set it up with shops or restaurants or bars or even beachfront property. Now, I know most people aren't going to the beach to Lake Erie, but you know, there's a lot of boating opportunities. There's a lot of other opportunities that are there for the taking.
You know, it would be cool if they moved it to the east a little bit, made a replica municipal stadium, but put a roof on it. That would be freaking amazing.
That would be kind of cool.
Because you'd get the boomers in, right?
Yeah. But except for those big bars that you might have to sit behind those pillars.
Oh, those sucked.
But I'm very curious where this story is going to go, because I would love, like, I've been to Lucas Oil, which is in Indianapolis. That's the, to me, that's the best venue I've ever seen a football game at. And it was indoors in December. It was freezing outside, but I, you know, took off my coat. I'm in a t-shirt. I'm, you know, and I enjoyed the game. I had a blast, and it's awesome. So I get everyone wants to be outdoor, or not everyone, but I get some people want to be outdoors in the natural elements and stuff. But how many times have the Browns, you know, played in a game with a ton of snow or a ton of cold in it? Probably just 1 or 2 a year, you know? So it's not like you're really missing out on a ton, but the opportunity to bring in the Final Four or a Super Bowl or more concerts, I think there's just so many more opportunities.
All right, I got a question for you. Do you think this ever enters into it where someone will not sign with you because of the weather? Like somebody's used to Florida and they're like, they're going to turn down the Browns because they got to play in
this
that
is game. Really funny that you say that, because do you remember when they were kind of exploring Deshaun Watson at first? And one of the reasons he was like, I'm not sure. Well, this was all supposed, you know, like, you know, apparently he was saying, well, Cleveland isn't his preferred destination because of the weather. He's from Georgia. He played at Clemson in South Carolina. He played in Houston. So, you know, I think weather, I don't think it has to do more so with the games you play, but maybe the climate you live in. So, and a lot of these guys can live in Miami or San Diego or whatever, like half the year. And it's just like, you know, you go back and forth between your second, third, fourth home, you know, whatever it might be. So, I think in the end, it's probably just going to come down to money.
Yeah,
you know,
right. That's what
you
know? I'm saying. It could overcome a lot of stuff with more zeros.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I would say probably not, but you know, if everything's equal, you might choose Miami over Cleveland, you know, like based on just climate alone. So.
Yeah. And in the end, I think Watson looked at the stats for masseuse per capita, and that's what his deciding factor was.
We have a Deshaun Watson story coming up. Look at that. So speaking of Deshaun Watson, now this just came through today. 20 of the 24 civil suits have been settled. Now they are signed, sealed, confidential. I don't know what's going to happen, but that leaves 4 remaining lawsuits that are out there. Now, I don't know if that means maybe those clients are holding out for a trial. Maybe they're holding out for more money. I don't know what that might mean. Your thoughts?
I don't want to touch this one. Like, I think my quip was as far as I want to take it.
You don't want
it,
to massage the situation.
Well done.
let me ask this.
Yes.
Suspension. I think it's going to happen regardless, but how long do you think the suspension will be?
I think this is more PR than anything. I think they're going to mess with what's going to make people upset versus not, and they're going to pick a balance where they're probably going to overshoot, let the union shoot back, and get something halfway between. So I don't think it's going to be a full season, but I think you're right to be from the beginning. 8 games seems like that's going to be the sweet spot.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. That's right where I'm at too. I think it's probably going to be 8 games because, one, the NFL has now, they're doing something new this year. They have kind of an arbiter in the middle. She used to be a judge on the U.S. court, I believe. Roger Goodell used to be the judge, jury, executioner. Now, from everything I understand, looking into this, if she comes back and says 0 game suspension, it's over. Like, the NFL can't touch it. However, if she puts out there a season or 8 games or 6 games or 4 games, the NFL can take that and up it or lower it. So that's from everything I understand. If she says 0 games, it's 0 games. But if she says even 1 game, they can bump that up or drop it to 0. If she says 4, it can go up to 6 or down to 2. If she says 8, you know, and so on and so on. So this will be very interesting to see how this all plays out. Now, do I think Deshaun Watson is innocent in all this? Absolutely not. But do I think he is 100%, you know, lying through his teeth? I don't either. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
So what are the grounds actually? Like, what would he be suspended for? Is it
now?
Just...
I think it's the personal conduct policy, okay, because there's no criminal charges filed. And did he make the league look bad? Did he make his team look bad? Did he make himself look bad? Yes. And it's a black eye for the league. It's a black eye for him. It's a black eye for the Browns.
But if he never admits to what happens, like, what would be the impropriety if there's nothing either proven or admitted to?
That's a great point. That's a great point. And I don't know. And I'm sure there's a lot of wheeling and dealing behind the scenes that we don't know about. I think, you know, when these HBO specials come out or one of the lawyers drops like a bomb, like a PR news clip or something, it's like, I think the NFL and the Browns and Deshaun Watson's people, I think they all have already known about that, but that's to get the public, you know, making comments or swaying one way or another to, it's the court of public opinion really is what it is.
Okay,
so,
I go with that.
So we'll see how this all plays out. It should be very, very interesting, but yeah. So, let's switch to, our division foe, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just want your thoughts on this. Chase Claypool says he is a top 3 receiver. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Yeah. I can. I mean, just Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson. Boom. I named 3 better than you. Now, if you want to say top 3 receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers, boom, done.
Total.
Although he might not even be the best receiver on his own team. I think Deontay Johnson might be the best receiver on his own team.
So this was like self-described?
He said it on some podcast. I'm not sure. And that was quoted in PFF. So I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Got to get to this, Joe. We're going to switch to pop culture now.
Okay.
Jurassic World, Dominion. I went and saw it this weekend. I came out very, very, very disappointed.
Really?
Very disappointed. Now, I'm giving this a wag of the finger because there's too much. It's like watching the same movie over and over and over. This was the same movie as last one. Oh, there's dinosaurs. They're loose. Okay, we made that mistake. You know what? Let's fix it and then let's do it again. I'm not giving a whole lot of spoilers, but there's the main villain in this show.
Can I guess? Because I haven't seen it.
Sure.
The villain would be the guy that's trying to sneak embryos out of the place to sell it to some other, right?
You're not wrong.
All right.
You're not wrong. There's a new non-dinosaur that is kind of a villain, I guess, a villainess in this show. Too much of the same tropes, though. The holding your hand out to hold the raptors in place. It was kind of cool how they brought like the characters from Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, made them into one environment. I like that. There were some cool things, but like you got the alpha dinosaur and the other alpha dinosaur, they're fighting at the end, but there wasn't enough dinosaurs for a dinosaur movie. Simple as that. Okay. So I give this movie a 5 out of 10. I'm normally a pretty easy grader on movies, but there was just so much potential with this movie and it lacked. I came out of there very, very disappointed.
Well, how were the effects?
The effects are good. So yeah, that kept my ranking like fairly okay. But apparently 5 months or so ago, they released like a 5-minute opening scene. Like this is the first 5 minutes of the movie. Wasn't even in the movie. They cut it. So I was highly disappointed with that. Now, dinosaurs are supposed to be out loose in the world, you know, New York City, but like in the mountains and in the country and this and that. And they didn't get into that. It's like they went to this old, like this other park that's always out there. And I was disappointed by that. So Jurassic World Dominion, I know, cost me about $9 too.
The seats were comfortable.
So, yeah, they were very comfortable. On this day, wag of the finger, well, not this day, but like this past weekend, 28 years ago, June 17th, 1994, O.J. Simpson, the juice is loose, leads the L.A. police on a low-speed chase. Joe, do you remember where you were when...
I was in my living room, and I watched the entire thing on TV.
Yep.
I couldn't get away from the TV.
I was actually at a Cleveland Indians baseball game, and they put it up on the scoreboard. Okay. And I know the NBA finals were going on that year. It was like the Knicks and somebody else. And they put it up on their scoreboard during the game. It was that big of news. And I just thought that was crazy.
Now, your Bronco, was there any influence in
well,
O.J.
that's why I didn't get a white one. Okay. I'll tell you that much. I love the Ford Bronco, but I went with gray instead of white. So, yeah.
I bet you that popularity of that color dropped precipitously.
Yes. Yes. Now, Joe, you'll like this next one. On June 18th. Oh, yeah. So we went June 17th. Now the next day, June 18th. This was actually the 18th anniversary of the sports classic Dodgeball, a true underdog story. So Vince Vaughn, you got a bunch of those guys in there. This has to be one of your favorites, I think, right?
100%.
So, I mean, just such a good movie, comedic. I mean, Dodgeball's a sport, but not really.
On the Ocho, yeah. It's the real deal.
Exactly, exactly.
And
so.
You made me bleed my own blood.
But if you haven't seen Dodgeball, where have you been? But get out there and watch that. So we go from 617 to 618 and to 619. So 6 years ago, happy anniversary. Cleveland Cavaliers overcome a 3-1 deficit to win the first title for a Cleveland franchise in 52 years. And to me, that will remain my number one sports memory. I got 2002 Ohio State right up there. Joe, do you have a favorite sports memory? It doesn't have to be a championship. It could be anything. Do you have a favorite sports memory?
Yeah, I would say as a kid when I used to go to Indians games, Andre Thornton was my favorite player, and I got pointed at in the stands by my hero. So
that's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool, especially as a kid. You know, you got to live that up and embrace it. So very cool. So as of now, we're going to have a show on Thursday. We'll be in touch. So make sure to tune into our social media pages. We will get in touch with you guys soon. And thank you for tuning in. And thanks to David for joining us. And Joe, we will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content. And